Wade and Kelly and Quinn and Brenna, we appreciate you sharing that song with us today, because I'm thankful to live in the greatest country ever. The freedoms that we enjoy, we must not take for granted. I'm thankful that the Supreme Court would not let them take off of our coins and our bills in God We Trust. But I'm going to tell you what, folks. We're living in a world today, in America today, that wants to compromise. And I want to tell you what. When the laws of this nation contradict the Word of God, we must always stand on the Word of God. And that is what we've got to do. And I know that people are afraid today to preach the truth about that, because they're afraid what people will think. They'll call them all sorts of names. By the way, the Bible calls it what it is. There should not be, and I'm going to just make very clear this morning, we still believe that the Bible teaches that marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman who are committed as partners for life. Not one man and one man, or one woman and one woman. But that's God's plan. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says, or the Congress says, or anyone else says. It matters what God says. And that's what God says in Genesis, that a man shall leave his mother and father and join with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That was God's plan. And that's still God's plan, by the way. And we must understand that. God's plan is still for the sanctity of life. May I tell you that we believe life begins at conception. Do you realize that at 6 weeks old, a baby, you can hear the heartbeat of a baby, but yet in America today, we're still aborting 1.5 million babies a year. 1.5 million, and I know some of you say, well, there's a lot of different things about that, Brother Jerry. Well, I want you to know, my Bible says in Psalm 139 that God had his hand on us in our mother's womb. And we believe in the sanctity of life, and that's the reason we support Cleburne Pregnancy Center out of our budget every month. We support that, and we're going to stand for that. And we're thankful for places like that that young ladies can go and get a sonogram and see that baby is a life, folks. And we got to stand for that. If we don't stand for it, what will we stand for? But here's the problem. The problem is that many people in the church do not have enough courage to stand for God. They're compromising. They have bowed down to the idols of this world. And let me tell you what. When you bow down to an idol, by the way, may I tell you what an idol is? An idol is anything that comes between you and God. Anything that's more important to you than God. More important to you than the church. That's an idol. And the Bible clearly states that we're not to bow down to idols, folks. Throughout the scripture, where I did a study on that recently. I went back and studied the scripture because I know there's some people think, well, this is okay and this is okay. But there is the idols of our day. An idol is a substitute for God. The Bible, even in the beginning of the book of Genesis 35, verse 1 says, then God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household, catch this, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourself and change your garments. In Exodus 20, you heard this verse. You shall not make of yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that's in earth beneath, and that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow to them, nor should you serve them." We're to have no other gods before us. Is that true? Why do we then? Why do we let things stand between us and God? Leviticus 26 says, "You shall not make idols for yourself, neither carve image nor sacred pillar shall you rear up from yourselves, for the Lord your God." And then right to that, catch this, and many times you'll find this when it says you're to serve no other idols. It says, "For you shall keep the Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord your God." By the way, we're to keep God's day a holy day. It's not for man. It's not for your privilege or my privilege. It's for God and God alone. Well, that's a big amen I heard there. You know the reason we can't say amen to that? We're letting things stand between us and God. You know, the idols we serve are not like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were told to bow down to a golden image that was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Thank God they did not bow, and thank God they did not burn, because they had the courage of faith to stand up against those things. I'm going to tell you what, some of the idols that we face today, some people's idol is money. They're more concerned about their 401k than they are about the kingdom of God. Some people's idol are recognition, or success, or material possessions. By the way, may I tell you that any material possession you have, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. Because he gave it to you. And if you let that stand between you and God, it becomes an idol. Whether that be cars or houses, even knowledge, or even other people. Another idol that people serve today is the TV. Hello? Say, "Oh, I've got to serve the TV. That's more important." Or how about the Dallas Cowboys? Oh, I know that really was a great entrance there, wasn't it? But you know what? We have people in our church right after Sunday school, they head right out the door. Why? Because the Cowboys are playing at noon. That's become an idol, by the way. Or if any kind of other sport that you're involved in that comes between you and God, that can become an idol. Because it's more important to you than God is. I'm telling you the truth this morning. I know that isn't pleasant truth. No one loves to hear this. But somebody's got to stand up and say, it's time for us in America to turn our hearts back to God, folks. As Dr. Wilder preached last Sunday in Hebrews, don't go back. Don't go back. He shared with us that Jesus is better than any angel. He's better than any prophet. He's better than any high priest. He's better than any sacrifice. He is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the perfect Son of God. And he alone should we worship. If you have a copy of the scripture, I ask you to go to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. And I know some of you are saying, "Well, preacher, I don't agree with you." Well, you don't have to agree with me. You better agree with what the Bible says. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, anything that comes between you and God is an idol. And you can write about me all you want to write about me on Facebook or wherever you want to write about me, but I'm going to tell you something today, folks. It's time for pastors to stand up and declare the word of God without compromise. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day and time. It's time for us to turn our hearts back to God. We need revival in America. Remember, we've been looking at chapter 11, the heroes of our faith. We've looked at some of those heroes, but I want to look at today at the courage of faith. The courage of faith. Beginning in verse 30 of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, here's what the Word of God says. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more could I say? For the time would fail me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. By the way, who are those guys? They were all judges. You can read about them in the book of Judges. They were people who stood, had the courage to stand for God. Remember, Gideon was the guy that had 135,000 men, and he says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send everybody home who wants to go home in this battle. And boy, it was a great invitation because most of them went home. He got down to just a few, and by the way, finally God says, hey, you're either going to depend on me for this battle or you're going to depend on what you can do. Let me tell you what, that's what we're living in today, folks. People are depending on what they can do instead of what our God can do. Our God can do anything he wants to do. I still believe he is all powerful. Do you believe that today? I still believe he is omnipresent. I still believe he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. I still believe in the providence of God, the foreseeing care and guidance of God in our lives. Parents, listen to me. You have a responsibility to raise your kids in the ways of God. You say, where do you find that, Brother Jerry? Well, read the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says you're to teach your children as they get up in the morning, as they go in the way, as they go to bed at night. You're to be teaching them the principles of God's Word. What are we teaching our kids today? Are we more concerned about teaching them the things of this world or the things of God's Word? May I tell you what success is? Success is not getting a job with six figures. Success is finding God's will for your life and doing it. That's what success is. And by the way, the world's idea of success and God's idea of success are spheres apart. And what we must understand is God is what matters. And then notice what he says. He talks about David. How about Samuel, who is a judge and a prophet? And of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, verse 33, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but that they may obtain a better resurrection. May I tell you today, we're living in the world today, if you're conservative, if you stand by conservative values, you will be ridiculed and you will be put out. I'm going to tell you something. I've made a decision this week. I'm not going to buy one more thing from Nike. And the reason I'm not is they bowed down to this ex-quarterback who says, hey, because they had the Betsy Ross flag on the back of the Nike shoe, they thought that was a racist statement. Because it was during the time that they had slaves and things. Let me tell you what. What's wrong with the American flag, folks? And that's the reason I will not buy another pair of Nike shoes. I'm not going to bear that Nike stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, Nike's got to decide where they're going to fall. Are they going to follow one person? Or are they going to follow us who stand? May I tell you something? I'm going to say this today. If Christians took a stand, we could literally change the direction of our nation. We could. And there's an election coming up in 2020 that I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have a choice between that which is evil and that which is good. We're going to have to choose to go the direction we're trying to go. Now, our president is not perfect. I'm not here to defend him because he's perfect, but I'm going to tell you what, he's better than anything else that's offered out there. Because people say, hey, we're going to have a pea in every pot. We're going to have the new Green Deal. And by the way, some people buy into that. You know why? Because it's more all about the money. Boy, I tell you, God's laid some words on my heart today. I'm burdened for our nation, folks. Are you burdened for our nation? Are you praying for our nation? Do you pray for our president? See, we must learn that faith is trusting completely in God's word. Are you trusting God's word today, or are you trusting your word or your interpretation? For some people today, they'd have to take the Bible and have to tear out several pages because they said, well, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. You say, well, I believe that, Brother Jerry. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you practice it? Not do you believe it, do you practice it? It is unconditional confidence in what he says, strictly based on what he says. May I tell you, if God says it, that settles it. Doesn't matter what you and I think. It's not to our interpretation. It's to follow God's plan. We're to trust God in what he says, or we'll be left to our own intellect or our own attitudes. And that's what's happening in America today. If it feels good, do it. We're free to do whatever we want to do. Let me tell you what. God's freedoms are great, but I'm going to tell you what, we're set free because of Jesus Christ. Our way leads to unbelief. God's way leads to faith. Help us understand that. The faith of the Hebrews talks about here takes God's word and acts on it, risking everything. Are you willing to risk everything for God? Are you willing to lay your life down for him and him alone? Are you willing today to say, listen, I'm going to serve God and him alone? There were a lot of would-be followers of Jesus, and one day he turned around and he says, listen, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what he said, Luke 9:23. He'd say, by the way, if you get around to it, if there's nothing else going on Sunday, if the wind is blowing right or it isn't raining, you can come to church. Boy, what would happen if all the members of Lane Prairie Baptist Church showed up on the same Sunday? Well, I'm going to tell you what, we wouldn't have enough seats to seat them. We have over 300 families that are members of our church now. Some of them we haven't seen in years. Some of them we see about once a month. Or they're on the two-a-month schedule. And I don't say that lightly. I say that it's time for us to be faithful to God. It's time for us to take a stand for God. How can you teach something from God's word and not live that same thing? A teacher in our church can't teach about tithing if they're not tithing. They can't teach about faithfulness if they're not faithful. They cannot teach about following God if they're not following God. The supreme mark of faith is courage. Faith is the source of courage. Are we going to stand up for God? Or are we going to let the world take us? When I was a young boy, I grew up in Austin, Texas. Many of you know I'm a diehard Texas Longhorn fan. Because whenever I was growing up, we could sit, believe it or not, we elementary kids could sit in the end zone of the Texas Longhorn football games for 50 cents. Yeah, you couldn't even buy bubble gum for 50 cents today, right? But I'm going to tell you what, we could sit in there, and I became a diehard fan. But what they did, they gave us these knothole tickets. There was a ticket, and we would punch it, and we could get in for 50 cents. But it was only for so many people. And back then, I wasn't real big, you know, as I was in elementary school. And then there'd be all these kids that were in there trying to get in for that 50 cents. And literally, all I had to do is I just had to pick my feet up, and the crowd would carry me along the way. But you know what? That's an illustration of exactly what many people are doing today. Many people are just picking their feet up and letting the world take them where it wants to take them. They're letting the world teach them what it wants to teach them. They want to follow the world's beliefs instead of God's beliefs. It takes courage to stand for God. Do you believe that? It does. It's hard. It's not hard to believe or trust or follow God when everything's going great, is it? Faith will help us as we face disaster, trials, persecution, death, or even ridicule. Faith will help us. And I'm thankful for the people who came before us that said, listen, we're going to stand for God come what may. There are people, Lane Prairie Baptist people, years ago, they split with the church at Mount Carmel over there because they didn't like the fact that the horse, when the train came by, it scared their horses. So in 1871, our church moved here. In a couple of years, we're going to celebrate 150 years. Now, I've thought about that. Why are we here today? We're here today because there were men and women who had courage of faith who never gave up. They didn't give up even when it got tough. Meeting in that white building. By the way, that white building used to have theater seats in there, and the floor was like this. If the kid dropped a marble, it'd go all the way down to where the preacher stood. But they stood by the stuff. Remember, I told you I found a bank statement from 1953 where the church had $53 in the bank. At the end of this last month, our church has $90,000 in the general fund. And we're fixing to put more money into missions, praise God. That's how God's blessed us, because of that. But I'm thankful for those people who came before us, folks. But I want to think about these three Hebrew boys. If you have a copy of the scripture, I'm not going to finish this sermon today, I can tell you that right now. Dr. Wilder said he went over last week. And I told him, that's great. As long as you don't go too short, I'm all right with that. Because if you go too short, then they're going to think I'm going to go short. But he did a great job. I listened to his sermon online, by the way. Wonderful message. Wonderful message. The warnings, those seven warnings that were given. But if you turn to the Bible, let's turn to Daniel chapter 3 this morning. We're going to look at three boys. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel and other young men were taken in 605 B.C. They were taken back to Babylon there where, and at that time they were probably 15 to 16 years old. Can you imagine that? 15 to 16 years old. The Jews were brought to Babylon, and what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do is he wanted them to follow the practices of Babylon. He wanted them to have a new language. He wanted them to have a new diet, food that they ate that was different. He wanted them to have new customs. He wanted them to have those new things. He wanted them to take on Babylon. But I want to tell you what, I'm thankful for Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that said, we will not bow down to the idols. We will continue to pray. Daniel continued to pray three times a day to the true God. Think about these young men. You know, they passed the test of the fact that, what? They were supposed to eat the king's food, and Daniel and them went to them and said, hey, listen, we don't want to eat. We don't want to compromise at this point. So what did they do? They said, you let us eat what we would eat, and then you let the others eat what they're going to eat, and we'll see who is fairer. And at the end of that period of time, they found that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those Hebrew boys were fairer than the ones who ate the king's meat. They didn't compromise. Listen to me, church. It's time for us not to compromise. It's time for us to have the courage of faith to say, we will not give in. We will not serve the gods of this world. We will not bow down to the idols that this world has, but we'll serve the true God. So here we find Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it. The king had made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits and the breadth was 6 cubits. And by the way, it depends on what you call a cubic. There's different ways of measuring that. But it was probably 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. It was probably made of wood and it was overlaid with gold. It was solid gold on the outside. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar, he called all of the counselors and all the people together and said, listen, when you hear the music played, you're to bow down to this idol that was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. May I tell you, there's some truths here in this scripture that I want us to see today. First of all, may I tell you, the fiery furnace will come for God's people. If you think you're going to escape the fiery furnace, you're mistaken. If someone promised you a rose garden without thorns, they didn't tell you the truth. To follow the Lord takes courage. In fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The devil wants to tempt us to destroy our faith, but God wants to test us to develop our faith, folks. And that's what's happening here in Daniel chapter 3. They had a choice. Are they going to bow down? Are they going to worship? By the way, do you realize the word worship is used 11 times in Daniel chapter 3? The only problem is Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to worship the image, that 90 foot tall, 9 feet wide golden image. He wanted them to bow down. The fiery furnace will come. Let's remember, when we decide not to bow down to the gods of this world, we will face persecution. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. 1 Peter, over and over again, it talks about suffering. It says, don't think like some strange thing has happened to you. Don't let it take you by surprise. The fiery furnace can be a great tragedy or a tremendous triumph. How will this be determined? May I tell you how it's going to be determined? It's going to be determined, are you going to put your total trust in God, or are you going to put your trust in yourself? Are you going to put trust in God or the things of this world? And church, I want to tell you what. We live in a day and time of compromise. And we need to wake up. You know what? Let me tell you what. The sins of the parents will be upon their children and their children's children and their children's children's children. You realize that? It'll pass along. You say, well, how do I break that mold? Well, you can with God's help. You can start today by saying, hey, what? We're going to not compromise. We're not going to compromise our faith. We're going to have the courage of faith. We're going to stand up for God. And no matter what comes against us, we will trust God. Well, sure enough, they blow the trumpet, and guess what? They blow these, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. Look at it with me at verse 12. And there were certain Jews who went, set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would be brought, these men, before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, if you be ready that at this time you hear the sound of those instruments, the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music, you shall bow down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Wow. That sounds like a challenge, doesn't it? And I tell you, that's what we're facing today. That's the exact challenge we're facing. The world is saying, you must bow down to the gods of this world. You must bow down to the laws. Even though they contradict God's word, you must bow down to those laws. And I'm going to tell you what, church, it's time for a few believers that say, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to compromise. We're going to stay by the stuff. We're going to stay by the word of God. Now, how did these guys stay by the word of God? First of all, may I remind you, by knowing that God is in control of everything. May I tell you something today? I want you to hear this. We serve a sovereign God. God knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have this challenge. In fact, God even knew the serial number that was on the fiery furnace. You realize that? He knew that Nebuchadnezzar was going to heat it seven times hotter than it had ever been heated before. In fact, God knew that the guys who threw them in, who had the coats and the covering to keep them from the fire, were going to die right there on the spot. And the God who knew these things is the God who is our sovereign God, who has the power to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he can deliver us today from this world we live in. Are we going to serve him? We have a sovereign God. Do you believe we have a sovereign God that's in control of everything? God knew that the 7.1 earthquake was going to happen in Southern California, folks. And it shook all over that area. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to understand that the remedial judgment of God is at the door, and we're already feeling the remedial judgment of God. But let me tell you what, there will be an ultimate judgment. It's time for us to say, hey, Am I going to serve the true God? And I know that he's in control. And secondly, I want you to see this. How did they face this fiery furnace? By believing that their God is able. Look at verses 17, 18. And I'm going to close with this, but I want you to see these words. Hope you'll mark them in your Bible. They're answering Nebuchadnezzar. If it so be, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he shall deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Wow. That's courage right there, folks. But if not, there you go. But if not, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, they said, we're going to believe God come what may. Why? Because our God not only is in control of everything, our God can do whatever he chooses to do, folks. When are we going to understand that? How do we face the fiery furnace? By knowing that God is in control of everything. By believing that God is able, and by knowing that God is ever present. I wish I had time today. I don't, but I just want to tell you that Nebuchadnezzar got a surprise. Because they threw those three boys in the fiery furnace. And when Nebuchadnezzar went over there and looked, he saw four. And the only thing that burned, let me tell you what, the only thing that burned, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, burned up was the ropes that bound them. That's all that burned. They didn't even have one hair of their head singed. They did not have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Because they served the true God. They did not bow down to the idols of that day, nor must we bow down to the idols of our day. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The God that was with them is the God that's with us. Help us, Lord, to take a stand against these things. Help us to go forward and know that you're ever present. Because Nebuchadnezzar goes over there and he looks in the fiery furnace. He said, did we not throw three bound? There's four and they're loose. I'm going to tell you what. Remember how he wanted them to worship the idols? I'm going to tell you what they were doing. They were having a hallelujah time in that fiery furnace. Guess who was in there with them? The one who was waiting for them was the pre-incarnate Christ. And he is still in the fiery furnace waiting for you and me. When we face the fiery furnaces of life, God will be with us. Oh, help us to understand that, God. You know, there's people all over the world that need the Lord. This last week we were on vacation. There's a young man down there. His name was Jacob. Jacob's responsibility was to set up chairs and umbrellas. He did it for a resort or condos over there. He said he set up 100 of them a day, 100 sets. But then they would set up a set down on our beach if we called. And the last day I reserved three of the umbrellas and six of the chairs for our family. I got to talking to Jacob. And Jacob said, hey, I told him who I was. And I started asking about the Lord. And he says, you know what? I met the Lord in May. And he was so excited about meeting the Lord. And I said, hey, listen, what I want to do is I want to start sending you the devotionals that we send out from our church. He said, that'd be awesome. I said, will you just text me your address? And the last morning we were leaving, guess what I got across my text? It was the address of Jacob. And I said, starting next week, you'll start receiving the devotionals. And here was his response. Awesome. I can't wait. May I tell you, a new believer will have a desire for the Word of God. Doesn't matter where you are, there's people who need the Lord, folks. But you know what? There's people who are watching us. You realize every time you get up on Sunday morning and you turn your car towards this church, you're giving a testimony to your neighbors that you serve the true God. Do you realize when you're in that restaurant and you don't just start eating, but you bow your head in prayer and thank God for that food and thank God for Jesus and thank God for your family, it's a testimony to everybody in that restaurant that you serve the true God. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, it's time for us to stand. It takes courage to live by faith. But I challenge every one of us here today to have that type of courage. There's some here today that's never given your life to Christ. I don't know of a better day than here on July the 7th, 2019, right after Independence Day, for you to come. And I've got good news today. You can be delivered. God will free you from sin. He will forgive you of every sin that you committed up to today. That's good news, isn't it? That's why we call the gospel good news. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. How he rose again according to the Scripture. And how he's coming again. And I want you to know that what we got to do is we got to realize we're a sinner and we cannot save ourselves. We got to be willing to repent. That means turn from our sin and turn to God. There's no such thing as easy believism. You got to commit your life to God. You got to say, I don't want to go that way anymore. I want to go God's way. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave and he's coming again. And yes, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. I'm asking you to take courage today to come down this aisle and take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need Jesus today. I invite you to come. Others here today, you need a church home. When the Lord comes again, he wants to find you faithful to a local body of believers. That's what the word church, it's used 119 times, 113 times. It talks about a local body of believers. I invite you to come, be a part of our fellowship today. If God's calling you, you come. But maybe the bulk of the invitation is for us to decide today, are we going to serve the true God? Are we going to bow down to the idols of this world? Are we going to let anything come between us and God? And God's the judge of that. Not me or you. God's the judge of that. But if you feel convicted, that's the Holy Spirit. Maybe today you just need to say, you know what? It's time for me to take a stand for God. Let's stand together, please. Stand. Everybody stand. Father, I want